Yeah, welcome. Welcome back to the podcast. This is the Obajima Podcast. I said episode 2 in our fake intro that we just cut out, but I'm now realizing that these episodes might occur in different order, and so I'm not going to label this as episode 2. Welcome to an episode of the Obajima Podcast. If you didn't watch the first episode, go ahead, jump back, watch that first. That gives us an intro, but I'll do another brief one. This is Ari and Adam. They are the writers along with me for Obajima. And we're just diving in to do our regular writing meetings once a week or twice a week. We'll get on a call and we will chat about the things that we've come up with and discuss the future of Obajima and stuff like that. And so we thought, why not just put it on a podcast? Three white dudes, why not just start a podcast?
Three dudes and a camera and mics.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we're doing. And the list, last week's episode with the intro, I'm canonically last week. Who knows for you? But our first episode, we dove into Okiri Village. That's and right. Broke down a lot of interesting stuff. We can all think back to how long ago that was for us. Yeah. this episode, I want to jump into another location. That location being titled, or self-titled as it sits, Overgrown Airfield, which is not a village. It's our first non-village. It is a special location you can visit while in Obajima, and something that we want to flesh out here. But the concept, and this is something that we'll kind of explain more, Obajima is full of technology, full of 80s tech, abandoned things like vending machines and buildings and bicycles and cars and K-trucks. But it's not everywhere. It falls sporadically throughout the world. It's not something that was abandoned by people, at least not that we know of. Obajimans discovered it and have just been living life copacetically with it alongside this technology. Some of them have been a little tricky and uncovered ways to enchant them and bring them back to life, imbuing them with special powers, or just repurpose them. Spirits have also figured out how they might be able to operate some of these machines. And what we're going to jump into today is to discuss the Overgrown Airfield, which is a... abandoned lot full of broken down planes and maybe a few buildings and a bunch of interesting creatures. I have on our little list here. Let's see what our description is. See if there's anything good. First sentence, cool place with old airplanes.
Yeah. What more do you need to know?
Done. That's it. No, nothing else. Aerial spirits might gather here, which is great. Perhaps we can create a flying creature that lives here, not a spirit, but an animal of some sort. Mm-hmm. Also great notes from past us. Yeah. A word I can't pronounce.
Raucous.
Raucous. There it is. A group of raucous harpies live here in a ruined radio tower that overlooks the overgrown runways. They wear the leather flight hats and goggles. I love this already. Accoutrements found in the airfield. They are prickly, gruff, and rough around the edges. They spit smoke, play cards, and curse. Oh my god, I love this already. But they know how to live as free as the wind. They could, they could revere the hunter. The hunter is something we haven't talked about yet.
That's right.
On the other side of the airfield, there could be a Momo's airship service. Momo flies. Her crazy airship contraption to anywhere on the island, a ride you're sure to remember. These are great ideas. I love these. I didn't read any of this prior to this, and this is all sick. Okay, so right off the bat, we have to talk about these harpies. I love a collection of harpies sitting in the old radio tower, playing cards and fake smoking. That's interesting, though. Harpies on Obajima. I wonder what we mean by harpies on Obajima, because harpies have some very Greek, Greek history going on with like them flesh tormenting eaters, sailors and being very vicious. So, what does a harpy look like in Obajima? I wonder. Do they have half bird legs? Are they more?
And that's why I pictured them. I pictured them pretty standard harpies, and it's with the kind of pilot. gear that makes them kind of stand out. I the fact that Obijima is an island and it's so associated with the sea and everything, it felt like an easy win for Harpies here.
I like that. So
I also think, like, you know, having the Harpies, like, they're threatening. Like, they might smile at you and they got, like, fang teeth, but they're not, you don't, like, you're kind of on the balance. Like, they're kind of not cute, but they're like when you're a little kid and you meet like an older like lady and she's like, she's kind of screwing with you a little bit. She's like, hey there, kid, you know, like, and like, kind of like, and you know, but kind of teasing you in a way. And you kind of don't know, like, is she gonna like devour me or like, what do I do? You know,
it's like, have you seen any like photos of dogs when they're like smiling and their gums are pulled way back and they're like, this is either adorable or scary. And I can't, it's riding on that line in between those two things.
It'd be fun to have them like that.
I think if you're always kind of uncomfortable in their presence, because like they almost like they're always in on the joke and you're kind of not, you know, and the fact that they're, you don't know how many there are, you know, if you're in a room with them, are there more circling around? Yeah. Like where? And I just like that they're there. And it also means they could show up anywhere in Obijima.
That's true.
They fly, but this is, would be like one of their primary hubs.
It'd be interesting to see, like, there's like, they kind of teeter on this, like your first interaction with them could tell you whether they're more adversarial or can like friends. Like you could be like, oh, you pissed off the Harpies, and now, you know, later in the line they won't help you out when you really need them. Or they might be like, especially because the Overgrown Airfield is, if I'm wrong, in the wetlands, right? Or at least bordering the wetlands.
We should have like a map
Here. Yeah, exactly. So actually, that's a great idea. Maybe we throw a map up there and get one of our maps printed. That's cool.
Start pointing to stuff.
So the wetland, for people who don't know, the island is broken up into 5 or 6 regions, and each region has a collection of locations in them. The wetlands is the most eastern region on Obijima, and as we mentioned earlier in our previous podcast, is the most dangerous. The further west you are, the more likely that you're going to run into fun and happy spirits. The further east you are, the more likely things get more dangerous, especially because in the southeast, this is where the corruption has touched down in the island. So I think they're either in the wetlands or bordering the wetlands in the coastal highlands. So they're pretty darn close. They might not be quite there, but they're definitely in a forested area.
I like wonder what they're up to, you know, like these Harpies are, you know, they're kind of hanging out here. This is sort of like their headquarters or whatever, their lair. But what are they up to? Like, are they, do they have an agenda? Do they have like things that they're interested in? Are they, cause you know, like witches are interested in getting potions to create magic and they might be dabbling in corruption. Harpies are, you know, what's their deal?
I kind of like the idea of them tormenting roads, right? Like people who are traveling from place to place, you know, and there are kind of roads that cut across the island. Like, I love the idea that if you're an adventurer, one of the things you have to prepare for is, you know, you're looking to the sky and you're looking for harpies. And there's something really compelling about that. I mean, and, you know, something like you said is like, how adversarial are they? Yeah. It made me think of the way crows remember people, and if you fed them or mistreated them or something, they'll remember you. So there's something we could kind of use harpies to personify that idea.
It'd be fun to have like a list, like you know, a DM could roll on, and just here's like a bullet point list of like things that can make, you know, that can make you get into trouble with harpies.
So
or things that they're up to.
I have a question for you, and it's the is all harpies versus these harpies. Because there's an idea that I have that you might love or hate, but it requires us to make them flightless. What if these harpies that are in the airfield specifically hurt their wings and they can't fly anymore? So they're obsessed with all the flying machines and they have the captain's hat and the pilot's gear. And that's why they live here, is because they love like their day consists of like, first we go hunting, then we all sit in the cockpit, then we all...
See, I think that's a cool NPC. Like that's a cool collection of images. I just like the image. This is me just in love with an image of the harpy with the pilot cap.
Yeah.
You know, dive bombing somebody.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Or grabbing somebody off the, you know, off the ground. I think that's super cool.
Maybe in our group of harpies, maybe one of them or two of them are flightless or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like they're the ones that are obsessed. Yeah. And maybe those are your in to the harpy group. Like the rest of the harpies are like, we don't talk to them. But these two are like, maybe they see your glider and they're like, whoa. You have something that allows you to fly. Mm. Like you went to Sky Kite Valley first and you picked up some machine that allows you to fly, or you're with one of the, you know, maybe a spirit, or you have some ability to fly and they're obsessed with that.
Yeah.
And so they kind of befriend you and they kind of slowly bring you into the rest of the harpies.
Or you could like have a thing where you create like a prosthetic wings and you kind of do a How to Train Your Dragon on them. And, you know, if you want to be like, okay, to get into the harpies, you're like, oh, we really need to like befriend them. And then you realize like, oh, there's two of them that have lost their wings.
Yeah.
And like, don't mention it because then you'll instantly be on their downside. But you could bring in like prosthetics and be like, hey, you know, like offer these in, you know, humble gratitude or like, you know, an offering to them. And they're like, oh, and then they do it and it works. And then you're like, then you're in, like they invite you to their card game and, you know, they're like, you know, here, Sonny, try this. And you're like, okay. And, you know.
I like it.
That's fun.
I like it. Maybe I like the idea of them being like on the level of like, are they threatening? Are they good? Like maybe they eat mosslings or the other like tiny spirits. Like they love like
a jar.
They have like a jar of them and they like open it up and the mosslings are like, yeah. And they start like crawling out and the harpies are like, oh, perfect.
I mean, depending on how, you know, brutal we want to make them, like with their capacity for, you know, being brutal is you roll on a table. If this is, you know, we have our, you know, our friends and foes or whatever, our bestiary, and then you see what their preferred flesh to
snack.
Eat is. Their preferred snack. And yeah, you might encounter somebody that, you know, or one of these harpies that, they love to eat Dara.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, and now if you have a Dara in your party, you know.
They're kind of looking at
you.
What if we made them, maybe we made like a list of some of the smaller spirits.
Mm-hmm.
That way it's never necessarily threatening to the players, but threatening to other things. Mm. And one of those spirit types could be companion spirits.
Oh.
So then you're like, oh, you have a little companion that's coming around and they're all like hiding behind you as the harpies are like playing their card game and eyeing your, you know, your flying cloud or whatever is falling behind you. They're like, is that what's that in your pocket there? And like, you're like awakened, you know, object is like trying to hide itself as best as it can.
Or one of them's like,
what's
that?
Yeah,
smell?
Exactly.
I think that's the trick with them is that there's some level of, you know, I think no matter what you're doing, even if you're helping them or whatever it is, I think that there's some level of like, don't get too comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of danger.
Yeah.
There.
There's a little bit of danger. Cool. Always. Like there's always menace.
There's kind of, I think they kind of ride somewhere in between like, this is a wild animal that needs to hunt and eat. And this is a human with personal desires.
Mm. Yeah, and they're kind of struggling. You can feel their struggle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like sometimes the wildness starts to come in, and they could even, like as a DM, you could describe it as like they start to distort a bit.
Yeah.
You know, they get a little more hunched over, and their teeth
like
actually
fangs start to grow out, you know? A little bit. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, and you got to like calm them down.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I like that a good deal in that they are. You know, if you're just interacting with them, they might come across as this kind of, you know, like it says here, like a raucous group. And so it might feel like you're just talking to other people that kind of have an attitude or whatever, but they as a group might just be more beholden to impulses. Mm. And that does manifest physically.
Mm.
Yeah. Right?
So that might be something that is just pretty cool. Like if they sniff out the companion spirit, they can't help themselves. Like there's something about that that's kind of cool.
Maybe all of their emotions are super expressive on themselves. Like when they're feeling down, like their feathers start to droop or they're like, you know, like it's just like very, everything is left on their sleeve, which is very interesting, including their more animalistic tendencies.
Yeah. They got all excited and all their feathers stick up. Like to the skies, sisters.
Yeah.
You know? And they'd all take off.
So we have harpies. We have two different harpies. I have a harpy, we'll say a more common harpy, and then I have a flightless harpy. But for other NPCs, what you also mentioned, someone like a scavenger builder type person, who has to have some sort of relationship with these harpies, because they're living, or they're either working or living in the same space. So what does this builder have? And maybe the machine, I think rather than having a fully operational machine that just like works, I'd rather have the character always tinkering, trying to get this thing to work. You know, like sometimes it takes off and then it's like, you know, they fly around the block and then it crashes. And like that's also a very interesting, hook, like adventure hook. Like, if only I had this one, I only had this one spark plug, and then you have to go into the harpy territory to get that spark plug or whatever it is.
Funny, every time the machine fails and it crashes, then like you hear way in the distance the harpies laughing. Like,
yeah. Get out of here, you dumb birds.
Yeah, you'll never fly.
You know? Yeah, that's pretty good.
But then when, you know, finally the thing takes off and does fly, then, you know, the harpies are like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there could be, you know, that could be a person that, you know, hooks you into adventures that take you to some other place, you know, finding this part.
Yeah.
Or being on their ship and it crashing somewhere else, right? Like you've got an airborne and it goes.
That's interesting. And like you could have a thing where it's like, okay, this thing's going to fly, but it's going to fly like D4 miles. Like, or, you know, whatever it is, D4, you know, 1,000 yards or whatever. And it's like, and then you have to kind of plot on the map, like, okay, which direction you want to go. Mm-hmm. And it goes this, then DM knows that. And you're like, okay, we're going to go south. And then you're like, you get that far. And then all of a sudden you,
Every time you get to that capacity, like the end of that, you roll again, right? To see if it can continue staying airborne at some point. If it doesn't, then it, you know.
What if he can make you a ship and it never stays apart? So at the end, like at the end of you using one of these, like, oh yeah, it'll get you to a location. But it always falls apart no matter what. Like at the end of Howl's Moving Castle, when the castle's on like two legs and it's a platform or whatever. The old man in the airfield, he'll build you something for a couple hundred gold and a jar of pickles or whatever. But it is going to fall apart. And you're going to have to figure out how to crash land pretty quick.
Oh, that's cool.
It's also kind of fun to think like that's a good way to reintroduce him later on in the adventure. Is like, oh yeah, you're like traveling around in, you know, on the mountain, and all of a sudden you see his plane, like, you're like, oh, okay, stop what you're doing. We got to go get the old man out of the tree. It's very interesting.
And you just hit on why the harpies don't eat this person, because that he eats pickles. And so he has this vinegary taste, and they can smell it. And it, like, vinegar is like a repellent to harpies.
Okay, I like that. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're terrified of pickles. Yeah, maybe he's like, he's got like a, oh yeah, they tried me once.
Yeah.
They didn't like it anymore.
The harpies could call him Pickle Finger. Oh, Pickle Finger.
Oh, maybe he bathes himself in pickle juice at the beginning. Like, he smells super weird, and he dumps a jar of pickle juice.
I no longer like this character.
Yeah. I love him. Maybe he's like, he's like super old and weird, and you go in the back of his house and it's just illustrious cucumber gardens everywhere.
A pit of brine.
So we have a handful of inventors. I'm trying to say that word right on podcast. Inventors/engineers. We have other machines that we'll talk about in the future, and things that are operating as, like, you know, there's a handful of intelligent people out here. How do we differentiate his personality or who this person is compared to some of the sailors who might operate the submersible? The French word. How do we make sure that he feels fairly different?
The Pontier.
Pontier. Thank you. I say Pontier, and I know that that's incorrect. But it's my American version.
Yeah. It'll work.
I think, like, you know, when you have, you know, we're going to talk about these, like, submarine adventurers. I think that there's that kind of spirit that comes through of being intrepid and living for that sense of danger. Whereas this character sounds more like an obsessive engineer trying to crack this riddle.
Right? Yeah.
Like, they want to put this machine back in the sky, and they haven't quite figured it out yet, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did once, it was attacked by, you know, the hunter and then hasn't really been able to replicate it or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah, in a weird way, like, you know, this is like sort of if a UFO crashed and we're trying to reverse engineer it and it's all unrecognizable. Like, well, it kind of looks like a bird. It kind of, so like everybody on Obojima, they don't know what an airplane is. Like this technology is just there.
Yeah.
And you know, most people just kind of see it as like the way we would see like the Sphinx in Egypt. We're like, oh, it's a big thing and it's cool. Like, we don't know how they built, you know, I guess they carved it.
People,
you know,
taking pictures in front of vending
machines. Yeah, like selfies, like, yeah, you know, but this guy is like, these things flew in the air like a bird. That's why they're shaped like a bird. And he's trying to reverse engineer it.
Yeah.
Maybe the harpies, I don't know, maybe he's got some relationship with them where they're, you know, they're either mocking him, you know, and saying, yeah, you never get it to fly, or maybe there's a deeper lore to the harpies. Like maybe they once were human, and mm-hmm. there was a curse that happened, or maybe they transformed over time, and you know, they you know, this could go, you know, who knows, but there could be this dynamic between everybody in the airfield around trying to figure out like what these things are and how to get them back in the air. You know,
maybe the harpies are more obsessed with the culture is a weird way of saying it, but like the ideal of like fly, like they don't care about the machines getting up in the air. They care about like wearing the hats, mm-hmm. and they love like looking through all the, like maybe they have like a brochure that talks about like traveling the high seas or taking pilot lessons, and they're like obsessed with it, and they put on their hats and they go around the fields, and they like have, for Obojimans it makes no sense, but especially for players playing in this world, they'll be like doing their interpretation of what like they think a pilot's day, like they like almost like play pretend in this weird space that they have full reign over, and being like the most threatening thing here, potentially the spirits might, you know, the animals and creatures like will flee, and they kind of have like, they can do whatever they want. The old man comes around and he's annoying, but he's not too terrible. But then when it comes to the old man, he's like, I could care less what they were wearing and playing pretend. I'm going to get this thing in the sky and they can't stop me type situation.
Yeah. Maybe he's got schematics, or maybe he's, mm-hmm. you know, if they live in a, you know, there's like an air traffic control tower.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there was something left in there that, you know, has some kind of technical thing, and he's like, you know, trying to piece that together.
Ooh, he can't get up there because the harpies won't let him.
Yeah.
So he's like,
can you get up there?
Can you get up there for me? Yeah. That's a good adventure hook.
And he's like, you know,
one of the things, like, yeah, they're up in the aircraft control room, that tower, he could be in the old mechanic's garage.
Yeah.
And like they're at the opposite ends of the location.
Uh-huh.
They're always like,
you know, it also could be one of those things, depending on how we want to do it, where if the harpies are nocturnal and, you know, they will drink themselves into a stupor every night or every, you know, and so, you know, this mechanic character knows that they're going to be, you know, stupid drunk, and he does his work during the day.
But, yeah.
You know, things like that.
It's like, if you can get up there, do it, but, you know, don't get caught.
Okay. Yeah, I love that.
They will smell you.
I love it. What about something that they're both afraid of? We have the harpies.
Mm-hmm.
We have the old man, and they bicker with each other. And they might, you know, harpies might fly over, and the old man like throws a sling up at one of them, like, get out of here, you birds! And they like steal his tools or something. But what about something in the airfield that's dangerous to both of them? That when this thing comes out, they both run. They both hide.
And like, why does it hang out by this airfield?
Yeah.
Makes me think of like if they fired up an engine on one of these planes, it wakes something up, like a big monster.
Yeah.
That kind of just comes crashing out of the forest. And so it's like, if they do it, they have to fire it up and gun it down the runway to like beat this thing, because this thing comes charging out after
this
them.
Is the T-Rex chasing the Jeep.
That's right. You know.
So what does that look like? What do we think that is?
Good.
Maybe a giant spirit?
Tentacle thing.
Or just like a regular beast. Maybe I'm trying to think. I don't want to use a heron right now, or not a heron, but a seagull, because we're so close to the boy and the heron.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did just watch a video on them, and they are monsters. They are just giant monsters. They're disgusting.
Yeah,
they're horrific. They cool themselves by putting their spine out of their body. What? Have you seen that?
No.
They invert themselves. Their spine juts out of their mouth. And they like roll their head back. They're disgusting.
That's unacceptable.
Someone look that up. Don't throw that on screen. But everyone look that up on your own time. That's like it's Cthulhu. Horrific. Yeah. It's crazy. But since then, I've like, oh my gosh. When we kind of talked about potentially someone came up with like the idea of demons, like spirits, these things, cast out of the spirit world, and they were trapped in the form of like the pelicans. And so every other pelican, maybe it's not every pelican, but back in the day, there was plenty of pelicans that were actually demons. We had like a giant pelican or a giant something that keeps I like the idea of something huge, like a flightless pelican that fills its beak with like, you know, like it opens its mouth and like a bunch of things crawl out or something like that, or it has full of water and it's like sloshing around, or especially if it's close to the swamp area. You could almost have like one of the pool, like it's fully buried. One of the pools is its mouth and its beak sticking out. Ooh, pardon me, everyone. Beak is sticking out like a broken tree.
I mean, if it's like a flying thing, then it's going to chase you, you know, and as your rickety plane is like trying to get out of there and falling apart as it's doing, this monster's coming after you to a certain plane, and then it'll just kind of bug out and go back home. But if it's landbound, then you have, you know, a certain amount of time to get airborne. And if you don't, this thing could then grab you, and then as it's devouring the plane, you're like running for your life.
I mean, if it's subterranean, you could do something cool where it could rip up the runway.
Oh, yeah.
Ahead of you.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, Jew can get out of the way and stuff.
How about this? There's an old folklore Japanese myth type thing where cats that live long enough will grow a secondary tail and they become bipedal and can start to speak. Kind of subverting that, taking the same flavor. What if there's just a cat that's 200 years old that just never stopped growing? And so it's like it plays with the ships, but it is also huge and will just like crush. It has like seven tails or three tails or something. And it'll just like, the plane starts up and it starts to play with it. And it's like, that's, oh, it's like batting it around, but it destroys the ship when it touches it.
What if it looks like a hill? And as you walk in, you just see this massive hill and you think it's okay. And then all of a sudden you hear like,
yeah,
and it's just echoing. And they're like, what the heck is that? That's the cat. And you're like, oh, that's a big giant green.
Yeah. That's really cool.
It's like covered with moss. And it like has like two, like, you know, maybe it naps for like a year.
Have you guys seen it photosynthesizes so it doesn't have to eat. Just the sun hitting it. Have you guys heard the recreation of a T-Rex's
Yes. throughout,
like the scientific one,
oh,
doing
dude.
That, but for the cat's purr.
Like,
it sounds like a helicopter slowed down.
Yeah.
Whoa. That wait, it sounds like a helicopter slowed down. We're in an airfield. That's so cool.
That's neat.
That's creepy as hell.
Yeah. And if it like it takes off and the eye just kind of like opens up. Yeah. And it's like looking at you. And then it just gets up.
It's like it's maybe a little mangy, but not super threatening. Yeah. But yeah, it'll like, I'd like the, not to get super dangerous, but we have to imply some danger here. There's D&D, some combat. I kind of like the idea of, in Princess Mononoke when, boy's name,
Ashitaka.
Yeah. Ashitaka. Good on you. You always got him. You always got the I'm terrible with remembering names. The moment after he has his infection, he's going to explore. He has the curse on his arm. And he fires off that first arrow and it confetti pops somebody's head.
Oh, yeah.
And all the confetti falls down. Children scream. There's a moment when that happens, though, when you're like, whoa, this is crazy. And I almost would love to see the same thing with this cat when like Because the DM will be like, oh, yeah, there's a giant cat running. And everyone will be like, okay, fun. It's a kitten. And then, like, a harpy swoops in and, like, bats it. And the harpy instantly dies as it, like, flies puff and hits. Clouds. You know, like, yeah. Feathers. And it's like, and everyone's like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And, like, you're on the plane. And, like, the old man's like, we gotta get out of here, quick.
Floor it, kid.
Distract it.
Cats can leap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, there's a mirror in the back. Try to get the sun. Yeah. And you're, like, trying to point the, like, get the sun to reflect as a laser on the ground.
That's pretty good. It's just, like, yeah. Going after it, smashing it,
like,
things.
Smashes through a building or, like, just knocks one of the planes aside.
The harpies are, like, shaking their fist at you.
Super, super interesting. So that's a fun thing to do. It's a little more fun than, like, because we could go tentacly and like very like monster and purple worn, but I want something that's like subvert some expectation, something that's so OBG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something else that has the same like fun tendencies where it is a combat, but it's not quite a combat. And this cat 100%, if maybe you'd have a couple rounds, like 2-3 rounds of combat. And then eventually it'd be like, I don't like this anymore. And it'll run off.
Yeah.
Like it could be like going in a totally different direction. If we wanted to take it in like a swarm, I'm imagining like a bunch of tiny oozes that, you know, erupt out of the ground or whatever and start like sticking themselves onto the plane to add weight. And so like, we can't, you know.
We are next to the swamp. We could have, because we have slimes as a monster, we could have like one of the slimes, like a giant one, like a humongous slime that kind of like splurts and like breaks into small ones and they all like jump onto the plane and start to get the, maybe that's why the mechanic hates it too. He's like, oh, once the slime's in the gears, it's broken. Yeah, we're going to tear it all out.
Or it could be a kind of a thing where you're in the ship and you're taking off, the slimes are on it. And you know, the old guy's like, you got to get out and scrape them off.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? We're like flying. Got to do it or we're going to crash. You know, it's like, okay. And so you're then you've got to tie yourself a rope or you've got to like a potion of flying or you're doing something.
Yeah,
to
you're
like,
a broom.
Yeah. Like flying around. And then of course, once you're outside of the plane, now you're vulnerable to like whatever else is going to try to attack you. So.
Yeah. I love that. I don't know which one's which. I don't know which. I like
these
the
are
slime.
Two different threats that they can happen.
Maybe we just toss both of them in
have
there.
Both. Yeah. You could have the hill cat, which is just a hill, and it may or may not wake up. You may not even notice that it's a cat. You're just like, there's a big green hill in the background, and if somebody wants to go check it out, then they can go like, this is funny. This is like grass is kind of like fur, and then like, and then they're like, you know, the hill is like slowly breathing. Like, oh whoa.
They're both pretty fun.
But then you get the slime.
The slime can be more of a consistent danger in the sense that they hide around in this area and they pop out and they attack.
There might be something this could be a creature that is attracted to machinery. So this could be something that is a threat here in particular. We could just have there are a ton of them here.
Mm-hmm.
But this could be something that we just introduce as a thing where if I'm in my little truck or I have, you know, I'm... Yeah, using some kind of machinery, there's a possibility that these things will come.
Yeah. Back to NPCs. We've got the old mechanic. We've got the harpies. We've got the frightless harpies. What about what other things live here? What's another thing that they could encounter? Maybe a spirit, like a wandering spirit that likes to live in this area. Maybe there's a spirit who is a little distrusting of the old mechanic. And that way there's almost like when you get there, which faction am I picking up on? Am I helping the old man? Am I working with the harpies? Do I talk to the spirit who's a little distrusting of them?
Could be like, if there's somebody distrusting the old man, it could be this idea that, you know, the old man's trying to bring back something that they're like, we don't want to bring that back. Like these things should just remain inert.
Yeah.
And the old man's got this, it could be the old man's got an idea that is like, he understands what these things were. And then, or he's like, he has this wild sort of quasi, spiritual, like, you know, religious thing going on. Like, oh, you know, this is a thing, chariot of the gods or something like that. It's like, okay. But it could just be, I don't know, you know, and then this other, whatever this sort of antagonist is to that could just be saying like, we don't want to do that. Like these things were overgrown and leave it be, you know?
And we could go like, depending on how heavy we want to make kind of the spirit's motivations. The spirit could be simply mischievous and is always misplacing tools.
Yeah.
Right. Or we can do things where, if the mechanic character had solved, you know, flight, and this spirit somehow stole their ability to, you know, kind of piece it all together or recollect a key concept there or something like that. Maybe a little bit too kind of abstract, but
well, on that kind of like stealing tools and being a little against the mechanic. What if the spirit's a little two-faced in the sense that it comes off as like this cute, like fun companion and people really like it. But that in reality, there's like this, it lives nearby and it hates when this mechanic turns on this machine, the sludge or the cat always comes out. It sends ripples throughout the forest. Animals go crazy. Spirits go crazy. And he's so obsessed with it. He so hates it that he's like, now I'm going to go steal tools. I'm going to mess around with this guy. But he doesn't let the players know. And so he's trying to stop the players from helping. Like, whenever they go by the mechanic, he disappears. And then when the mechanic's gone, he comes back and he's like, I don't know, guys. I don't know if you want to do this. And then eventually if the players do help him get something operating, he kind of turns and he goes from like this playful thing to like, you know, I'm imagining like a spectral spirit or something, which we'll throw some art up, but like maybe he goes from like being pale blue to like twice the size and deep red and his eyes go crazy. And, you know, like glass breaks all around and he freaks out, when, you know, that you get the plane operational or something like that. It could be interesting. And then so he has like more motivations rather than just like this general disdain for wanting these things to exist again, you know?
Mm. Sure.
Yeah. It's a possibility.
I mean, I mean, maybe there's no other deeper reason than just like he just doesn't like it. Or is there a deeper reason why?
I mean, it could be that like it disturbs his sleep. Like he's like, every time you turn this on, or like maybe it sent ripples to the forest and like a giant elk knocked over the tree he lived in or something like that. And it's like, now it's personal. And he's like, I'm going to this airfield. I'm stopping this man. But he's also not like very confrontational. So he's doing it through like, he's like stealing his tools, which the old man, of course, is blaming on the harpies. And he's like, you know, maybe he coaxes or like coerces one of the sludges over to eat the copper out of his cockpit or something like that. Like the old man doesn't know that all the bad things that are happening to him are from this one spirit. Who's just like sick and tired of the old man trying to start really up his machine.
Passive aggressive.
Yeah. And so like when the players are all of a sudden going to solve all of the old man's issues, that's where he like starts to, they start to go crazy.
Could be like the old man is like, you know, I'm close to figuring this thing out, but I'm missing this piece, you know, and I misplaced it. Where, you know, it's kind of like the word I put my glasses kind of thing. And as you kind of go along, you know, you get a chance to like see this spirit sneak in, snag something and go off to the forest with it. Well, if you follow the spirit, you can go to this place and there's just a pile of stuff.
Yeah. The pile of all of things.
These
spark
tools.
Plug that there's like 30 spark plugs.
Yeah. the old guy's like, I just keep running. Like I just keep putting them down. They're just going, you know, it's like, but now he's, you know, run out of spark plugs and there's no way. And the spirit's like, you know, now I can get some sleep, you know?
And the spirit's like, as you're getting closer, it's like, I don't know if we should go this way. Yeah. I don't think this is the right one. This is I think that he meant the other tree.
Yeah.
Ten plug, and then you get to the tree and it's like a squirrel who stuffed it full of spark plugs.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe we should turn around.
Maybe we should turn around.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh.
I love that. Okay. So, you know, harpies, flightless harpies, the old man mechanic spirit. This is a more desolate location, so there's less things here, but I'd love to talk about maybe the reputation. What do people about Obojima think of this location? Some people have to know about it. Maybe they think the old man's crazy and a loon. You know, that's a possibility. Maybe he's maybe the old man is a former member of AHA.
I mean, that's cool.
The band from the 80s. Yeah. He's taking on me. He's in a full pencil animation the entire time.
That's right.
Um, So, you know, what is the reputation of this location? Is it someplace that it's like, it's not worth going to? It's a little old, abandoned. Maybe scavengers go there occasionally.
Maybe it's like what the people thought of the Wright brothers back in that day. They're just like, oh, these crazy, you know, people out on the hill, you know, they're like got these wacky machines and they're just running into the wind and, you know.
Well, but I'm assuming Skykite Valley, which has some amount of flying machines, true. Maybe less mechanical, maybe more glider based.
Yeah.
They're probably not looked down upon.
No.
And there's also, we've also talked about blimps and hot air balloons and, and things like that. So I'm wondering if more like maybe it's less of like this thing he's doing is crazy and maybe like this is a fool's errand. Like we maybe years ago we all tried to get these operational and he's the only one left.
Mm.
Maybe like, oh yeah, this outpost used to have AHA used to be outposted here. And we had a ton of mechanics and engineers trying to figure this out. And there was 20, and then there was 16, and then there was 15. And now 25 years later, he's the only person left. And he's not technically a member of AHA anymore. And they all kind of like, oh yeah, I wonder what happened to him. And he's still just there. And you know, like maybe like then the harpies moved in and now it's like, well, maybe it's just too dangerous to go with the harpies there.
And that's what I think. I think, you know, the harpies probably are what dominate its reputation in terms of like, you don't, it's a dangerous place to be. Like, that's not where you want to be kind of stuck. But it's also, there's, I think there's probably an air of mystery about it, that, you know, it's, it is this place that, you know, for those not in the know, AHA is a guild of archaeologists, historians, and archivists. And so they go about Obajima looking at, you know, sites of mystery and interest. And so if this NPC was one of them, that could be a thing of just like they were out, they, you know, they were posted here to investigate this thing.
Yep. And he became obsessed.
Yep.
And then yeah, they all left and he's the only one who stayed. So that's cool. I like the idea of the place that he lives in, like when the people, like if especially if you've already dealt with the faction, and then you come here and you go into his old abode and you're like, what is this uniform? Like, why do you, what do you have all this? Like, here's the poster and here's the code and the rule book. And like, maybe he's like one of the original members too, which would make it super interesting.
I mean, is the fun part of this encounter actually helping him get this thing flying?
It's possible.
Like maybe he's got all these like tried and, you know, failed experiments. He's got, you know, several different planes that he's like sort of cleaned off and, but, you know, he knows that there's this missing piece and, you know, and it's just kind of up to you whether you want to help him get this thing flying or.
I mean, the idea of it, if this was like not Obajima, this was just, you know, another setting and it's just like, okay, there's a person trying to build this flying machine and get it flying. That tells me we're supposed to get this flying because I need to fly somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if that's a thing we want to do, I think it's really important to have a place to fly to and that flying is the way to get there. It doesn't mean this is the only way you can get there, but it means that this is a place, this is a reason people would go here because they not just need to help this person fly, they need to use this thing to fly somewhere.
So there's a few things we could do with this. There's the immediate promise where he could say, help me get this thing operational and I can make one use flying machines. As long as you get the parts, I can make one use flying machines. And then it's like almost like an ingredient use, like go find me a spring, go find me three spark plugs and bring it back. And then I can use those to build the simple machine that's going to run this. And then the longer one is like, okay, my machine, my big flying machine's working. And then it's almost like a world development thing where it's like, I can't land it anywhere. I need runways and I need landing pads. And then you're going around Obajima and you're like, we need one in the hot springs. We can get one in the Skykite Valley.
Yeah.
You know, like where can we set up places for this guy to land? Cause currently I'm dropping you out of the sky. you're jumping out of my plane. You're taking gliders. You're feather falling down. Mm. Those are your only options. So it's almost like, okay, it's operational. But then the next part of the adventure is working with either maybe AHA again, getting him connected to AHA, or maybe talking to the Mariners Guild or someone in Skykite Valley, or there's a village that we've yet to talk about that is a industrial village that makes a lot of machinery, and maybe they have the mechanic, like somebody there can help you build a a railway, or not a railway, but a landing pad somewhere. That's interesting. That's super interesting. And it's also world development, because then it's like, where did you decide to put these places?
Yeah.
Like there's no set location. It's where the players think is important.
Or you could always also have like a seaplane where you could just land in the shallows anywhere around the island.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could land in the wrong place. You could land in the Lionfish King and, you know, like, oops.
Well, maybe that's a thing where it's like, okay, if you're not building a landing pad or not pad, but runway.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to talk to the Mariners Guild. Go talk to Holly and say, can you affix, like, he's going to fly it here. We're going to crash land in a field next to your place. Can Holly, who's a mechanic for the Mariners Guild, maybe she can build him a seaplane, like the base of the seaplane. It's very interesting connecting all these threads of the people that you meet and the factions that you meet and how do they work together. It's super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is that like enough for the airstrip? The overgrown airfield.
So we have a former AHA outpost, which is interesting. We have factions. We have a bunch of NPCs and a ton of adventure hooks. We have a bit of a reputation, which I think most people know it for the harpies. And like, it's a place that scavengers go.
Like, what is the, like, let's say we do the giant cat. Like, is that an elder spirit? Or is that just some kind of giant monster, like, but not really? Like, I mean, could there be a solution with, because when everybody sees the cat, they're going to be like, aw, like, I want to give him scritches and like give him food and make him my friend. Like, is there some solution to that? Like, what's the thing about that?
If we did it as a giant cat that's not a spirit and it is an animal that's just really, really old, then you could play with meeting an elder village, like a village elder from somewhere else that's close by, that's like, I wonder what happened to my cat when I was a kid. And like, they give you a little bit of information, and it's just enough information to win the cat over here. Like, and then if you, if for the players that are paying attention, that can connect it, it's such a big payoff to be like, oh my gosh, I think this is this old woman's cat. What's her name? Fluffy. And you say Fluffy, and the cat like stops.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh, I gotta get this giant cat to that old lady. So that's fun. That could be a solution.
If we wanted to go in the spirit direction, we talked about this idea that in, you know, you have the spirit realm and you have the physical realm, and they're kind of overlaid on top of each other. Excuse me. And some spirits, the way they look in, you know, they kind of can coexist in both the material realm and the spirit realm. And the way they look in the spirit realm is different than how they look in the material realm. So let's say you're dealing with this, you know, this enormous cat, and you use one of your abilities, one of your spells or whatever, to go into the spirit realm.
And it's a kid.
It's a small cat or it's something else, you know, it's just something tiny, but it just, you know, it's a larger than life in the material.
It could be, what would be fun is maybe it's a giant cat spirit who got trapped in this body. And in the spirit realm, it's a mouse. And he's like, when I chose my avatar form, I was so tired of being a mouse. So I chose the most threatening thing I could think of, which is an 18-foot tall giant cat. But it just like had the opposite effect. It was like just a giant cute kitten.
Just a cat.
Which is kind of interesting. I feel like that's a hard one. I do love the idea that like things from the 80s can turn, like especially the oil turning into slimes. That's really cool. I also like the cat. We could present both opportunities as like an option, or have both of them exist.
Yeah, these are threats here.
I wonder if like the cat kind of becomes like this sort of DM choice thing, and we just say, hey, here's a cat, here's the conceit, and here are a bunch of options. Here's how you could play it. Here's a bunch of different ways you could do that.
I'm realizing in Legends here, we have our Legends section. I feel like all of this falls under Legends.
Oh, yeah.
Where depending on where players want to participate in this, that you can introduce these legends. If they're interested in Aha, you expand on Aha. If they're interested in the cat, you drop the cat lore in the village prior. And go from there. That being said, one other things, I mean, we're getting pretty close to fleshing this out. Unlike other villages, there's not a lot more that we need to get into as far as like these four NPCs are probably the only characters you'll meet. You know, there's probably other spirits and types of creatures that exist in that area that we might detail in the book. But we've kind of given a majority of it.
I mean, it could be like, I don't know. I mean, because the harpies are here, depending on how, you know, dangerous they are, like, you know, kids could come out to the airfield and fly kites, you know, that kind of a thing where it's like, maybe, like, you know, the kids that are more adventurous, they'll like come out here and like, hey, we can fly kites in the airfield, and like the harpies might be sleeping, and don't do that, you know, our parents told us not to, but they go do it anyway. And so you can do that. And maybe the old guy is kind of like kindly and like fixes their kites when they break, or makes them really cool kites, you know. And it's like, oh, here's one that's, you know, 20 feet long and it's a dragon. And they're like, whoa, like, well, if we go see, you know, old man, whatever, he's going to make us. And he's like, oh, kids, check this one out. And this one like shoots fireworks. And they're like, whoa, that's cool. It could be kind of adorable like that. If you, you know, wanted to create another, like, you know, another one of those kinds of, like, if you follow the kind of bored kid, you know, after school, and then they go out and you follow them, they sneak out to the airfield, and it's like, oh, okay, that's where they're going. And they're flying kites, and they're doing that stuff, and they're having kite fights, and
good old kite fights.
Yeah.
That's where you tape a kitchen knife to the end of your kite. Okay. I mean, how is everyone feeling on this location? Do you think we need to expand on it? Is there anything you think we're missing?
I mean, if you go into DM brain, like, if you ran this, like, what would you...
I mean, it kind of seems like a spot that you drop in, that you, through Aha, through the harpies, through the lot, there's a lot that expands. This seems like a place that you stop at to meet the old man and potentially the harpies and potentially get some future quests. It's almost like a stopping off point, not necessarily a point that you spend a ton of time on.
Yeah, I see it as a point where if you're traveling, you might be set upon by the harpies, and you're all grabbed and taken to the harpies' lair.
Yeah.
And then you have to escape from the harpies. Maybe you have to beat them at a game of cards, or fight your way out, or make yourself taste or smell terrible so they won't eat you, and then you flee. Or this old man kind of helps you escape in some way, or, you know, and then now you're getting wrapped up in his story. So I think there's a lot of ways to get here. I think there's some things to do. We could probably push on some of these a little bit more.
I think the thing you brought up about, like, when you do get the plane going, where do you want to go? Like, what is the thing? Like, sure, you could go to Skykite Valley and get something, but is there something that a plane is uniquely, or whatever these are, planes or airships or whatever, it's like that you, if you get this going, you can go to this area, which none of the other things can go to.
Right.
Or is it sort of like Obajima's a big island? If you go to one area, you know, if you happen on here, it's just another way to get to a flying area kind of deal.
What about this? All other aerial forms of transportation can only go a certain height because the sky salamander, the skeletal shark, these giant animals take airspace in these higher locations. And this is the only thing nimble enough to avoid them.
That's cool.
I like that though. I really like, the idea that there's a certain height that you can get to before you're going to have to deal with one of the big beasts that fly out through the sky. And this is the thing that lets you to get around.
Yeah.
The spirit train's coming through right now. I wonder if anyone can hear that.
As if on cue.
I know, it's perfect. That being said, I think we're darn close. We've already recorded a ton. I think we're going to wrap up this episode, and we're going to finish the rest of this, flesh it out, and drop it in the book without you around, unfortunately. I'm sorry, audience. thank you so much for tuning in. This has been an amazing podcast episode. Thank you for listening into our writers meeting. This is Adam and Ari, and I am Jeremiah, and we will see you next time when we jump into a new topic. If you have any questions on anything we said or you want to hear about certain topics, write them down in the comments on the video or, I don't know, jump on our Discord and message them there. I'm sure I'll nail down this intro eventually, or this outro eventually. Until next time, thank you so much, and we'll see you later.
See you later. Bye.